You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. On this Thursday morning, it is the 1st of May. It's May 1st, 2025, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, and whether it's through the terrestrial radio station near you, or an app on your phone or your tablet, or maybe Facebook or YouTube as you do some doom scrolling, or by podcast. Thanks for spending the first part of your day right here. I've got a question for you, and it's decidedly off topic compared to the stuff that we normally cover here, but I thought we could use a little change of pace today. Would you live on a Caribbean island if the opportunity came up? Now, not to retire. You'd still have to be a working stiff 9 to 5, okay? Would you do it? It's pretty good. It's not all sunshine and comfortable breezes. I will tell you about yesterday's election day back in my old residence of the Cayman Islands coming up. I was watching a lot of coverage from the folks I used to work in TV with down there. It's a different world, trust me. So a little diversion to talk about today. Also coming up on the program, of course, we will get back to the bare essentials of what's happening in Washington, Madison, and elsewhere. We'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith and State Representative Jody Emerson from the Chippewa Valley. Some of the latest Trump budget cuts that we're hearing about affect things in their neck of the woods, like community volunteer programs. You know, waste, fraud, and abuse like that. And meanwhile, in Madison, Republican leaders in the legislature have been holding hostage for nearly 2 years now money that was budgeted and approved to deal with a healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley. We will ask the legislators if there's been any progress on that whatsoever. We have another quote from Sean Duffy on Fox and Friends. Turns out he is very afraid of New York City. And you should be able to put your car wherever you want to put your car, because this is America. There are other members of Congress still in Congress. You know, Duffy's now the transportation secretary, but members of Congress, you know, Derek Van Orden and the rest, who have had the opportunity to either end or modify the disastrous effects of Trump's trade war. But after a vote in Congress yesterday, it becomes pretty clear that this Congress is comatose and is not going to do anything about it. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki about that. He's also a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. If you missed yesterday's conversation with Melissa Baldoff, we'll play that for you at 6:30 this morning, where we talk a bit about a bill that would change the way that power lines are approved across Wisconsin. So that and much more along the way, and of course, your input as well. You can call or text the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do it by phone, do it on the app. You can use that Civic Media app to call us or text us, find different stations. All the music stations are on there as well. Find out more of the shows that you can hear across Civic Media. And if you're watching instead on Facebook or YouTube, put something in the comment section and we may pop it up here. Temperatures around the state are very mild compared to what we're used to around here, as Greg Bach joins us from Radio Park down there in the greater Milwaukee Metroplex. He's got his Brew Crew shirt on. He's looking very seasonal. It is. Let's see. The warm spot is actually here in the Chippewa Valley, where it's 54 degrees right now. Hayward is at 52. Amory's at 50, Wausau 46, Rapids at 46, La Crosse 52, Green Bay's at 48, Madison's 48, Milwaukee's 48. So that's it, Greg, you're 48, like it or not.
I turned 48 this year.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I mean, wow.
What a coinky-dink that is.
Cool.
So, yeah. Can I brag about dinner last night for
Absolutely.
Just a moment here first?
Please brag about dinner.
My new favorite method of making steaks. In a cast iron grill, But and I know if people, some people do this and they'll go, how did you not know about this before? I'm a pretty late comer to the notion of reverse searing a steak, which if you're not familiar with it is you start by warming your oven up to 250, just 250.
Okay.
And then once it's heated to that temperature, then put your steak in and it doesn't have to be thawed. I put a frozen steak in there. And you just have to have your digital thermometer handy. If it is thawed, it might only take 30 minutes. If it's frozen, it might take an hour. But eventually, that thermometer is going to read a target temperature that's about 30 degrees lower than what you want it when it's all done. So if you want it at, say, 140, you know, when it's all done,
okay,
you warm it in the oven to 110.
Warm in the oven. Okay. All right.
Then you get your cast iron skillet ripping hot. You throw a little bit of olive oil in there. You throw some coarse sea salt up and down your steak. And in 3 to 4 minutes, when that temperature, when that thermometer hits the right temperature,
mm-hmm.
oh Craig, I'm telling you, y'all got to make your steaks like this from now on.
So last year, we invested in a brand new grill.
Yes.
And we used it once. So mm-hmm. this year, I really want to use it a lot. And maybe I will incorporate steak advice.
There you go. Yeah,
There's going to be steaks, right inside. There's steaks involved in this advice. There's steaks involved.
Yes.
Sorry, that was terrible. No, it's
like I said, it's a great way to ensure that it's already starting to cook. So, you know, the problem is too often either on a grill or in a cast iron skillet, you know, it gets plenty hot on the outside, but it doesn't cook enough mm-hmm. on the inside, especially if the steak is a little thicker.
Yeah.
And this is just such a great way around it. I tell you.
You're so I love how happy you are about this.
I know. I've made this like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times now. And each time it gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I have to tell the world about this. So I just
let him talk about steaks. Just let him
yes,
talk
he'll,
about
steaks. He'll be fine. He has to go back and talk about the newsletter at some point. Just let him roll.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Hey, we have a daily newsletter to tell you about over at Up North News. Head to the website, upnorthnewswi.com. By the way, on the website, one of our stories there is a Trump tracker, not of just the 100 days, but the promises that he made that would be happening on day one. And he did say this repeatedly. Here's what you'd see on day one. So we track that. As for the newsletter, today's edition includes an article on flower festivals. There are just about a half a dozen flower festivals in the springtime around Wisconsin that you could put on your road trip calendar. So learn more about that in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. So should we do the little Caribbean diversion here? Just
Caribbean diversion. Oh, sorry, yes. Yes. Yeah.
That was Billy Ocean's initial draft of that and then decided to go with Caribbean Queen. All right. So first off, to rewind for folks that don't know, this was for Sherry and me, this was our midlife crisis. Okay. The nest was recently emptied. We were in jobs that were like, they're okay, you know. And Sherry, being an OBGYN, every field has different databases where you can see where the jobs are mm-hmm. in your field.
Yeah.
They have that for radio and, you know, for plenty of other things. And she would look at it every now and then, mostly just for fun to see, oh, they're looking for an OBGYN in this country or in this state, you know, in this beautiful, you know, area here. And one day she comes home and says there's an OBGYN opening in the Cayman Islands, which she knew was going to get my attention because we had been there like 4 times already on cruises for a conference. We knew somebody else that had vacation there. So we went with them. So we knew we loved this place. And I thought, well, this ain't going to work. Then again, maybe it will. So we did. So we took a chance. We took a chance and Sherry signed a 3-year contract and delivered babies there for 3 years. I got back into TV news there and, you know, there's a lot to say about life there, but I bring it up today because yesterday they had their national elections. And I always have trouble saying national elections for 3 tiny islands with a total population of about 80,000 people. For, you know, and half of them are Caymanians, half of them are expat workers, you know, from the States, from Canada, from Britain, from the Philippines, from Jamaica. but for the Caymanians who were voting on their leadership and voting for members of parliament. And again, I love the place, but I still chuckle at the notion of parliament for these little islands. The parliament is 19 people. It's what we would call a county board.
Yeah, with all right.
With all of the local politics that go into it, including many attempts at parties. They've tried different ways. They don't just have a natural, like, Democratic and Republican party. It changes. There are all the time these teams and coalitions. And usually the result is that no party gets a majority, and so there's chaos, which was the result again last night. So again, they will have to find their way through and decide which clique basically is going to run the show for a while.
Jeez.
But just to give you an idea that, again, politics is different everywhere. Two big issues for them. One is the trash dump. They don't have one. They literally have something called Mount Trashmore. It's the highest site on the island. It is a literal mountain of trash. And they're all the time debating what they can do about that, which is hard. And it keeps catching fire. It's a very hard thing. But the other thing is cruise ships. Now, a lot of places, if you've been on a cruise, you know, some places have these beautiful modern cruise berthing facilities where you come right in and they take care of everything. They don't have that in Cayman. There, the ships dock offshore, and these things called tenders, these little shuttle boats, you know, come and get people off the ship and bring them in. And for years and years, they've been debating whether to build a berthing facility. And for a while there, I think it had quite some support because it would be good for the economy, bring all these people in. But so many people have come in now as visitors or as residents or as expats that now it very much has a backlash of going, no, why do we want to risk damage to the coral in the area? And your island can only hold so many people in one day. Do you really want mega ships coming in and dumping that many people onto the streets? So there was a national referendum yesterday, and the referendum failed spectacularly in asking, should we build a cruise berthing facility? And so, you know, you'll continue to have to use these little boats that make some people seasick as they go from the big boat off to shore.
You're doing great. Just look at the ocean.
Yes. Think about all the watches you can look at the jewelry stores and all the other trinkets. And
think about
how
you'll never be able to have a trip again like this.
Yes. It was again, great experience.
Yeah.
Glad we did it. Really glad to come home. But to live in a British overseas territory with a unique form of government, with these British style elections, the British style courts, was just that, you know, if you're going to have a midlife crisis, don't buy the expensive car. Go live somewhere else for a little while.
I was going to say, it's not, I mean, honestly, it's a pretty cool midlife crisis if you want to call it that, because you did it with your spouse. You did it together. You didn't just show up one day and be like, honey, I bought a boat.
Yeah.
Would you ever retire, maybe not to there, but somewhere else tropical, do you think, when the day comes when you're done?
We always thought that we would, and we still might, but then those pesky grandkids came along, and it's
They're really the worst.
It's so cool to be close to them.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but you know what? Eventually, they're going to get older and go like, yeah, grandma, grandpa, whatever. So, yes, it's very possible that we might be back there. And in the meantime, I miss my friends down there so much. Tammy Suleiman, Andrel Harris, Kevin Morales, Reshma Raghunath, Philip Richter, Pilar Bush. Just, you guys are amazing people. Wish you all the best. And enjoy your life in paradise. It's not paradise every day.
Yeah.
But it's still paradise.
Yeah.
We'll have more after this live from Lake Wissota, not the Cayman Islands this time, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, let's see. Jake Bowers hit a go-ahead two-run double in the eighth inning last night, and the Brewers beat the White Sox 6-4 for their third straight win. William Contreras went 2-for-3 to extend his hitting streak to 9 games. The three-game series with the White Sox and the 10-game road trip for the Brewers comes to an end this afternoon. Coverage begins at 12:35 on some of these Civic Media radio network stations. Catch a little matinee baseball today with the Brewers versus the Chicago White Sox, and then they're back home again tomorrow, starting a series against the Chicago Cubs. What did I not get to here? Oh, there are, it's May 1st, so it's May Day. So there are going to be some protests around the country today. It's also International Workers' Day. Something's got going yesterday. There was in Eau Claire a sit-in at the office of Congressman Derek Van Orden. Congressional candidate Laura Benjamin was one of the people that attended, and we'll actually be talking to Laura Benjamin next week about her candidacy. She's the third candidate to declare in the 3rd Congressional District, the Derek Van Orden seat there. But back to today's marches, Voces de la Frontera will have something that marches to the federal courthouse in Milwaukee. And then up in Hayward, there's an organized demonstration today happening, not merely against Trump and friends, but also in support of Judge Monica Isham. And she is one of those judges who was very concerned about the arrest last week of Judge Hannah Dugan in Milwaukee, and sent an email saying that she was considering just closing up the court until there was better safety guidance from her superiors as far as whether are we doing ICE arrests in the hallways outside of our courtrooms? Is that going to be the standard policy? So she asked that question. She wanted clarification. She sent the email, which, of course, brought all kinds of condemnation from Trump enablers, like members of Congress and members of the Wisconsin legislature, to the point where there is now going to be a march in Hayward today in support of Judge Isham. She's one of, if not the first Chippewa to ever be elected a judge in northern Wisconsin. And now she is facing, those job threats, even death threats. And at this point, people are saying, we have to gather, we have to show our support. And I just really wanted to tip my cap to the people who were posting on social media about this. Not just the fact that they're going to be marching, but that there are rules of the road. Like, specifically, don't get in the road. Don't impede traffic. If you're going to the courthouse, don't impede what's happening at the courthouse. Don't give people any kind of a reason whatsoever to say, well, these people are violent, et cetera, et cetera. And it said, bring your own signs of positive support for Judge Isham. Do not engage with any opposition. Do not block business activity. It says, our issue is not with any of our local businesses, many who support our efforts and are worried about the rise of prices as they have to pass on the Trump tariff taxes that consumers have to pay. And it said, basically, no matter how crazy some of the other supporters can be, we are not going to take the bait. And we are just simply going to have a positive march in support of Judge Isham. That'll be happening this afternoon up in Hayward, an area that is no stranger to Sean Duffy, who served as the congressman up there for a time, is now the Secretary of Transportation, and apparently is a big old fraidy cat. Did I share with you, Greg, the audio of Sean Duffy commenting on Fox and Friends about the New York subways or not?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did. Okay, good.
Let me actually hold on. Give me 30 seconds.
Oh, that's no. I have to set it all up anyway. I suddenly had this brain spasm where I'm like, did I think it or did I actually do it? And so, remember last week I mentioned a leaked memo from a U.S. attorney's office showing that the case that Donald Trump and Sean Duffy were making against New York City for their congestion pricing program. The legal case for that was flimsy at best, but they were looking for any reason to attack Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City officials who are essentially just doing what they're doing, what toll roads do. If you want to bring your car into Manhattan, you're going to have to pay more during rush hours. It makes sense. This is why you have tolls, to make transportation easier, safer, better, cleaner, and so forth. And as we mentioned last week, the statistics are in. It's working. millions of fewer cars clogging up the roads and choking up the air. But, of course, Sean Duffy, being on Fox and Friends, didn't like that because it gets in the way of his freedom. Here's how he described it during a recent visit.
She wants to take people off the road, and she's taxing people to do it, raising money for the subway system in New York. But then to put people in the subway, the New York subway is dirty. It's violence, it's criminal, it's not safe. People stand against the wall in the subway because they don't want to get pushed in front of the tracks. Yeah. So if you want to have people take the subway, make it clean, make it safe. Yeah. But by the way, I like freedom. Let me drive my car in if I want. Right.
There's applause.
Oh,
there's applause.
God, I like freedom.
I like freedom. Let me drive my car. I mean, of course, Sean Duffy is used to that level of privilege. You know, let me go where I want with my car. I'm kind of a big deal.
I have a question for Mr. Duffy, Secretary Duffy. You're from Wisconsin. When you drove to Illinois, did you just go up to the toll booth? It's like, no, I like my freedom. You don't get my money. I'm driving to the Gurney Mills Mall.
And of course, we know what he's saying about the subway. It's like, well, you clean up your subway. But by the way, we're not going to give you any help for that.
No,
either.
No.
So, you know, again, it's criticize what's there, but not help with solving the problem at all. So once again, in so many instances, you have Republicans by and large who love to criticize the big city. They're so afraid of the big city when really it's just it's a convenient punching bag and a center of commerce and activity. And again, how about being part of the solution instead of part of the problem? We'll hear from Melissa Baldoff coming up after this. Let's bring in Melissa Baldoff, a little climate check, a little Wisconsin political chatter. How's Melissa today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
Doing okay as well, because we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We didn't have enough time to really get into the specifics of a debate at the state capitol on a bill that doesn't really cut neatly across party lines. This one's all about, competition when it comes to new transmission lines here. And it's really got Republicans divided more than Democrats. But to boil it down to its essence, Melissa, it really is about whether state utility companies would get first dibs, if you will, when it's time for those new high voltage transmission lines. And the thing of it is, when we talk about climate, Melissa, transmission lines are their own kind of side issue in that, you know, we're talking about whether it's oil and gas and coal versus, you know, wind and solar. But even if it's wind and solar, you still need transmission lines to get that power someplace. And so it's something everybody needs to pay attention to. But it's almost refreshing that we have something here that isn't exactly just a Democrat versus Republican kind of bill.
Yeah, look, it's always good to have a debate, and it's good to have conversation and get to the best version of any bill that's going to pass, you know, and whether or not, you know, this is going to be something that does pass or not, and if it's something that the governor will support or not. It's always good to have a conversation in the public and get to the best version of something. So, you know, we want to have that transparency, that sunshine on the process, and make sure that the public is aware of what the intention is and how we're going to get there. Because far too often, what we have is these bills that are put together, you know, in private by the Republican leadership to serve what their special interest friends would like to see, and that's what gets passed. And there's no public input. There's nothing that is serving the will of the people. So the fact that there's even a conversation here is positive. It doesn't mean that we're going to get to what's going to be the best for the climate, what's going to be the best for the public, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but it's still a positive thing that there's a conversation here.
Yeah. And in this case, this version of the what's called the Wisconsin Energy Reform Act says that basically Wisconsin utilities would have a privileged position when it comes to, you know, new transmission line projects under the guise of, well, they're already involved in some of these and they would understand and the benefit would be, it's kind of like, you know, Buy American type stuff. But you also have people saying, well, that would actually diminish competition. And so ratepayers would end up paying more. And again, I'm not studied enough in it to know that one is necessarily better than the other. It's just kind of a refreshing change of position. It reminded me very much of my first year in the legislature, 2007, when we did the smoking ban. Now, there is near universal agreement that the smoking ban has been a positive for Wisconsin. You know, our clothes don't reek of ashtrays when we get home from, you know, bars and restaurants. People are healthier. The air is cleaner. But Melissa, you and I both know in 2007, it did not cut across party lines. And that was a spirited debate, to say the least.
Well, I'm sure it was. So that actually predates my arrival in Wisconsin.
Let me tell you stories. the main thing on this one is that it really was more of an urban rural, in that anybody who had mostly cities in their district, they wanted the smoking ban, and people in predominantly rural districts did not want it. They thought that was an infringement. And I had a district that was the north side, the northern half of Eau Claire, and then a whole lot of rural area. So, I mean, I was right in the middle. I was one of the deciding votes on not whether the ban would pass or not, but the folks in rural districts and bar owners especially thought, well, this is going to put us out of business. They wanted a phase-in period. So the original bill was like 30 days. They wanted like a one-year phase-in. I suggested, I believe it was either 90 days or 6 months, I forget now. And boy, was I vilified by the people who wanted the smoking ban immediately. They're like, oh, you're standing up with big tobacco. I'm like, no, we're still going to do this. We're looking for a compromise here. And it was very frustrating to have, there were so many Democrats mad at me because I wasn't putting the smoking ban in immediately. Well, in hindsight, of course, it doesn't matter at all, not right now. I mean, nobody remembers that debate. I don't even remember what my amendment said. I just remember at the time going, wow, we still do have debates sometimes on bills that don't cut neatly across party lines. And, you know, here's one of them. So, you know, it made for a great story, if nothing else. Right, Melissa?
Absolutely. I'm just glad by the time I did move here in 2010, there was no smoking in bars.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's move then to a different matter of air quality and getting back to climate concerns. New story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Maya Pandy, I believe is the reporter's name. Headline, Milwaukee's air quality remains among the worst in the nation, according to a new report by the American Lung Association. Milwaukee, out of 228 cities tested for ozone pollution, ranked 26th worst, right behind Sheboygan as 24th worst. Obviously, a lot of that is related to industry, a lot of it from northern Illinois and Indiana, as well as southeast Wisconsin, and unfavorable, you know, environmental conditions in terms of how the wind blows and everything. But Melissa, this has been a perpetual issue, air quality in southeast Wisconsin.
It absolutely has. And this is something we've talked about before. And had, guests on. We know that folks down in Beloit, some citizen scientists have studied this issue. But this is something that one of the, I think, most notable pieces to me from this report is that in the Milwaukee, Racine, and Waukesha area, it's getting worse. We know that it's been bad, but across the Milwaukee, Racine, Waukesha area, it is getting worse. And knowing that air quality is worsening is really dangerous. So what it noted is that between 21 and 2023, the area averaged 9.5 days a year of unhealthy ozone levels compared to only 6.7 days in the previous year's report. And Racine County ranked the worst in that area for the ground level ozone pollution. So this is, you know, really a big problem that we know is it's continuing to get worse on some of these factors. And that's a big problem. The causes, you know, there are many, like you mentioned, some of the producer pollution, also the extreme heat, drought, wildfires are some of the main drivers as well, according to the American Lung Association, that are driving the worsening air quality nationwide. We know, I think folks probably remember a couple summers back, wildfires in Canada caused some really significant air quality issues in Wisconsin and across a lot of the country. So we know that a lot is going on to cause this, and it's really a problem that's worsening.
And it's something that, as we've talked about it over the years, again, when people said wanted to debate air quality and some wanted it to be a state by state decision, obviously it can't be. We can't put up a wall between Illinois and, you know, Gary, Indiana, and other places. We can't put up a wall with you know, Canada and its wildfires. And so this needs to be a national effort. And we're only helping ourselves in the process. Again, we have people saying, well, you know, China's not doing their part, so, you know, why should we punish ourselves? Well, again, if we're always going to race to the bottom, then we're going to have air quality as bad as it was in the late 1960s and early 70s. And while things are better than they were, you know, the article does note that we're talking about something like 900,000 people are at higher risk in the Milwaukee area of the more serious health impacts that come with dirty air. This is not a, you know, pick on manufacturing story. This is a public health issue that just raises the point. We can always be doing better when it comes to air quality. You can talk deregulation all day long, but you can also talk about doing a better job of not polluting from the stuff that you're making.
Absolutely. And that's why it's such a concern what the Trump administration is doing at the EPA. You know, the EPA was established under Richard Nixon in 1970. You know, so for more than 50 years, you know, we've had bipartisan support for the EPA. And, you know, at times, of course, it's been, you know, stronger and, you know, had more teeth than at other times. But generally speaking, there's been bipartisan support for the EPA's, you know, kind of dual mission of protecting our air and water quality and enforcing regulations to reduce emissions and, you know, reduce pollution. And now we have a new mission at the EPA, which is to, you know, drive down the cost of cars and make small businesses more profitable, right? And we know that they are not going to take steps to hold polluters accountable and address air quality and water quality. And, you know, not just that they maybe won't have as strong of regulations as we would want to see, it seems that they don't really have any concern about enforcing regulations and really want to give polluters just kind of carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a pro-pollution agenda that they have, and it was exacerbated Monday when nearly 400 scientists across the country were informed by the Trump administration that their services were no longer needed to write a major report on climate change for the federal government. It's known as the National Climate Assessment. It's done every 4 years. It was mandated under the Global Change Research Act of 1990. And instead, an email went out to all of these scientists and said, thank you for your participation. We are now releasing all current assessment participants from their role, because that's where we are nowadays, Melissa. We will look for happier news down the road here, but we always appreciate the climate updates so people know exactly what this administration is doing. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
And as we're looking at the changing of the calendar, of course, it's we've got all the national day, this and that. We'll talk about that in our history lesson in a sec. But I couldn't help but notice some similarities here for the month. May is National Clean Air Month. May is National Allergy and Asthma Awareness Month. And May is Lung Health Month. All of them serving as a reminder that we can control our environment. We can control, if we all work together, ways to have cleaner air for ourselves, our kids, for our elders, and not the health problems that are associated with it. So keep that in mind throughout the month. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings, up north, and live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Flows and flows of angel hair and ice cream.
Time for today's history lesson on this first day of May, and Greg is bebopping to a little Judy Collins, who today turns 86 years old.
I first thought was like, the author?
No. Judy Collins, the singer. Yes.
The actress? Sorry,
No.
I'm funny.
So many Collinses out there. Judy Collins, 86 years old today. Another 70s soft rock singer, Rita Coolidge, is 80 years old today. And Ray Parker Jr. has a birthday today. Ray Parker Jr., 71 years old today.
I didn't know until working on this show that Ray Parker Jr. was in a group before he was the Ghostbuster guy.
Uh-huh. And the group, of course, was Ray Parker Jr. and
Radio.
R-A-Y. Radio. Ray Parker. Yeah, I see what he did there.
Oh, I just got that.
The Empire State Building was dedicated in New York City 94 years ago today. Math is hard this hour of the morning. This day in 1931. So happy 94th birthday to the Empire State Building. One more birthday to share here. That would be country singer Tim McGraw. But Tim McGraw, he and Faith Hill have been together for a long time. I remember when they were both new on the scene, which was now 30 plus years ago. Tim McGraw is 58 years old today.
This is just peak 90s country.
Oh, yeah. Saw him at Country Jam in Eau Claire. Again, long time back, and I was like, this guy's going places.
Yeah.
And he did.
I went, there used to be a country festival, like a country jam in Waukesha. I don't remember the name of it, but the first artist played, I think it was like 2 p.m. Little known guy named Brad Paisley.
Uh-huh. See, that's what I love about these festivals. When you get to go, is somebody just stands out and you go, I bet that one's going to go somewhere.
Yep. They're really good.
Yep. Now, one who I didn't think, and my first time I saw him was at the Minnesota State Fair, Alan Jackson.
Really? Because
he just stood there. His great voice, great songs, but he just stood there.
He
would walk to the one end of the stage and strum the guitar.
Yeah.
Midway through, he'd walk to the other side of the stage, strum the guitar. No showmanship whatsoever, but the music's good.
His voice is so... I love Alan Jackson.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Let's see. Back to the history lesson. On this day in 2003, the infamous Mission Accomplished speech made by President George W. Bush on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln, where he declared that major combat operations in Iraq have ended 6 weeks after the initial invasion, with the American death toll was 104. Another 3,424 Americans would be killed in the war over the next 8 years.
He really wanted his daddy's overseas war to happen.
Oh, I know. And it's a price we still pay.
Yep.
On this day in 1956, a record was released by one Johnny Cash.
I keep a close watch on. Whatever happened to this guy? You know, kind of just faded into obscurity.
No. Well, and there's another guy. Not flashy. Stands there and plays the guitar. Yep. But if the music is good.
Yeah.
The music is good.
Yeah.
Yep. So Johnny Cash released this in 1956 as a pledge of fidelity to his first wife. Emphasis on first. Once the song became a hit and Johnny Cash became a big deal, it became a little harder to do that fidelity thing. Struck up an affair with June Carter, whom he would later marry.
There's a really good documentary about his first wife, Vivian Liberto, Vivian Cash. Oh, very good documentary about just her struggles, her ups and downs, and who she really was. Because people don't talk about her. We don't talk about her enough.
No. Remember Elvis and Priscilla? Elvis Presley and Priscilla Beaulieu were married on this day in 1967 in Vegas, of course, at the Aladdin Hotel.
Yeah, of course.
On this day in 1976, the new number one song was by the Bellamy Brothers.
Yeah! Get the tailgate!
This is classic 70s country walk.
Oh, God, I love. I could, you know, people will complain about like, oh, country politan and the Nashville sound and the sun. I love it all. I honestly, there's really, except for like the past like 10 years where it's like just barely country music, just a few things here and there. But like, this is great.
Okay, boomer.
That's right.
This is
back in my day, Pat.
Today is International Workers' Day, of course, as we noted for May 1st. This is National Doodle Dog Day. Like so your Labradoodles, your Golden Doodles. Not the ones that can draw. There's a special day for those ones.
Yeah.
Dogs with Opposable Thumb Day, but that's not today. This is Rotate Your Beer Day. Do you ever have that issue?
Rotate it into my belly.
I mean, doesn't everybody like make sure the older stuff is in the front and the new stuff? And apparently not.
So I think most likely if you're that kind of person, that beer, as most of my house, that beer's for company and you don't care.
Yeah. Yep. Or for, getting the brats ready to put
there
on the
grill.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And then finally, today is World Password Day. So once again, everybody call in 855-75-CIVIC. Tell us your password.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Extra points if you share your credit card number with the listeners as well. So we did think of putting up a post asking if people had particularly noteworthy, or dumb passwords that they don't use anymore.
Yeah.
But, or just other kinds of stories. And I do have a story about it. I believe I told this on World Password Day last year. My wife worked with a certain medical records system, and she was not happy with it. And she needed support all the time. And one time the tech support guy said, well, can I go in through your computer and remotely? Yes. Okay, I'm going to need your password. Do I have to? Yeah. Well, the password was the name of the electronic medical record company. Sucks. And the tech guy laughed and said, that's not the first time I've gotten that password.
What's your password? It's password.
Yep. State Senator Jeff Smith and State Representative Jody Emerson are coming up along the way live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.